Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. We'll be here for another half an hour, 25 minutes to be precise, and then Dr. Alistair Begg will raise the level of dialogue here and get us back to...
So we'll lower it and he'll raise it.
He'll be teaching the Bible, and he's an excellent Bible teacher, so stay tuned for that. All right, Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. Good morning again, you gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Fred Jackson left the building, much like Elvis. Fred Jackson has left the building, and Steve Jordahl has taken his place.
He's got important things to do.
Steve.
Good morning.
Thank you for being on the program today.
A privilege, as always.
It's the floor is yours.
Well, I heard you talking about the telephone last
celebrity
night.
Telephone.
Celebrity telephone. And you mentioned Stevie Wonder. I had just happened to bring a clip with me of that. And what I thought was interesting is that he gave, you'll hear this speech on the, it was almost like it was taken from 1 Corinthians with maybe the heretical version of 1 Corinthians 13. But
the love chapter.
The love chapter. Listen to this.
We've come together today to love on the people that have been devastated by the hurricanes. When love goes into action, it represents no color of skin, no ethnicity, no religious beliefs, no sexual preferences, and no political persuasions. It just loves. As we should begin to love and value our planet, and anyone who believes that there is no such thing as global warming must be blind or unintelligent. Lord, please save us all.
First of all, it's couched in these, he went on to sing Bill Withers' When Sometimes in Your Life. I don't remember the name of that song. It's Ed. We all need a shoulder to lean on.
I'm not singing it, Steve.
Lean on me. Anyway, but it had a black choir behind him, and it was couched in religious terms. But he talks eloquently about how a hurricane doesn't care about your politics or the color of your skin or whatever else.
Sexual preference. He had to throw that one in there.
Hurricane doesn't care about that. And I guess he's right. But then he goes on and says, and by the way, if you believe in global warming, you're an idiot.
No, if you don't believe in global warming.
How loving.
If you don't believe in global
warming. Don't believe in global warming.
What that was the introduction of a celebrity telethon last night where they raised money for the victims of Hurricane Harvey, I think, in particular. But this was what struck me was, and I didn't watch this, I read about it, but what struck me was they raised $15 million?
I'm looking that up right now. I can't remember what the exact number was. It was somewhere around there. But $14
million. That's pathetic. For
it might be pathetic for you who might have $14 million. That's a lot of money.
Well, no, considering the clientele there.
Yeah, I think he's talking
about
the...
If some regular Joes from Texas get together and three of them raise $15
million
because of a barbecue, that's a big deal. But when you have billions of dollars sitting in a room...
You're absolutely
Oprah
right.
Winfrey could write one check for $15 million and she'd never know what's missing from her bank account.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I'm not impugning the motives of all the celebrities who were there for this event.
Because they did show up.
They did show up. I am just saying that a lot of this stuff that they spouted out last night was political correct
garbage.
Garbage. And for Stevie Wonder to come on, again, who I've always liked his music, to say anybody who doesn't believe in global warming is unintelligent,
Now this is a telephone, so that there were ordinary people who could call in and donate too, right?
And they would talk to a celebrity on the
right. Okay, that's what it was for.
So what I look at and I see, if you really care about the victims of Harvey and maybe Irma, I don't know where the money will be used. If you really care about those victims, you want to raise as much money as possible, right?
Yep.
So do you start off by insulting?
Right.
Half the people that might be listening?
Stevie Wonder did.
Is your ideology that important?
What does sexual preference have to do with the hurricane relief? They got to throw that homosexual stuff in there, the gay and lesbian stuff. It's got to come out, even if you want to go to a farmer's market in Michigan and sell your tomatoes, you got to sign up for LGBT before you can be allowed to do that.
And it shows the state of our country, the divisiveness that goes on. We can't even raise money
without
for people who've lost their homes and sometimes lost family members. We have to turn it political. We got to turn it political. We got to divide the country. And another thing is, there is not one scientific study, that links hurricanes to climate change. There is not one study. If conservatives just blanketed out these statements, then we would be asked, what's your source?
We've always had hurricanes.
What's your source?
My source is Al Gore, who, after all, invented the internet.
That's true.
There you go.
And he said,
inspired love story.
And the internet and weather have a lot in common.
And Al Gore said, and he said it was an inconvenient truth, that by, I think it was 2012 maybe, or maybe it was a little bit later, but certainly by now, parts of the East Coast would be underwater.
Yeah.
And that's happened, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It happened just the other day. And it's the other day. It's unhappened. Now.
Yes, it's unhappened.
What these people are getting at, like Stevie Wonder, and I don't know if you could ask Stevie Wonder three or four more questions if he'd been able to. Maybe he's well-versed in this. I don't know. But or they just spout the liberal line because that's what Hollywood does, because it's a groupthink mentality out there on the issues. But here's what they're saying is, global warming is the cause for these hurricanes. Never mind, we've had hurricanes for as long as as history. But hurricanes that hit the U.S. in particular are caused by man-made global warming.
Right.
So man, that is Americans, nobody else basically, but Americans cause global warming.
Right.
Because of, I guess, our...
Well, we're selfish and
we drive SUVs.
That's right.
We're capitalists, actually.
So we're basically the cause of global warming. And the global warming leads to the hurricanes. The hurricanes attack the U.S. mainland. Therefore, we are to blame. Not we liberals in Hollywood who answer these phones, but basically Donald Trump. In fact, have you noticed that hurricanes have increased since President Trump was sworn in January?
Yeah.
Is that coincidental?
I
think not. Now, we were,
I have it on good authority, and yes, I do. I have it on good authority that Stevie Wonder's weather expert actually is Sir Duke, who has unknown, not many people know this, but has a degree in climatology from the University
Sir
of... Sir Duke.
This seems like an inside baseball thing. Who's Sir Duke?
Is he a rapper or something?
I'm sorry, you don't know Stevie Wonder and Sir Duke? Do I have to play the song for you? Bum, ba-da-dum,
ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum. That's Sir Duke? I never knew the name of
that song.
Da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, that's Sir Duke?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You can feel it all over, Ian.
Wow.
All over. Anyway. All right. So these celebrities, maybe the celebrities will have a fundraiser themselves because they could raise $15 million.
Among themselves?
Just the change in their Mercedes, on the floor.
Yeah, but now they need to ride their bikes.
No, Walker.
Come on.
These people are important.
Come on.
They've got to have their private jets like Al Gore did.
No wonder we have Jose out there in the Atlantic. It's because they flew their jets to this fundraiser.
Their carbon footprint is crazy big, these Hollywood celebrities, but they got to tell everybody else. I never will forget to read the story, and I can't verify this, so don't ask me to. We're going to say it anyway. This is 20 years ago. But it's 20 years ago, I read a story about Barbara Streisand and how she was advocating for mass transit for everybody to stop carbon emissions and, that kind of thing and hurt the environment. And they talked about how she took her RV across town to get her hair done.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember that story?
Yeah, that anyway. Is true.
All right, what's next, Steve Jordan?
And I didn't care for her hair after that, personally.
No, me neither.
quite
a singer, though.
Oh, yeah.
That Barbara Streisand. Go ahead, Steve.
A former professor at Vanderbilt is being targeted by the Southern Poverty Law Center. You might recognize being targeted by the Southern Poverty Law Center, Tim.
So, SPLC.
The SPLC has taken on former Vanderbilt professor Carol Swain. Now, the problem is they're calling her that they're saying that she supports white racism, that she supports white nationalists, but she happens to be black and she happens right. to be an expert on race relations and has written several books critical of the SPLC. This is what she had to say. She fires back at them on, and this was from the yes. Tucker Carlson show the other day.
I was criticizing them because I saw that they were engaging in mission creep, that they yes. had lost sight of their original purpose, and they had started going after conservatives. At the time, it was immigration restrictionists. So I wrote a blog, September 2009, and about 6 weeks later, my photograph was in my local paper on the front page with a headline that I was an apologist for white supremacy. There was a film that I reviewed. The title of the film was A Conversation About Race, and I gave it an enthusiastic review because I felt that on college and university campuses that there was a side that was not usually heard in social science classes, and that was the perspective of whites who felt that they were being beaten up about racism. And so I endorsed the film, and they used that as the pretext to label me as an apologist for white supremacy, even though I had written, at that point, two books on white nationalism.
So a black woman is a white nationalist because, well, you can't have an... She was criticizing Southern Poverty Law Center's mission creep, where they went from defending civil rights to just attacking conservatives. Basically.
And Carol Swain, she is a very smart lady. She's yeah. very tough. I've seen her.
Professor at Vanderbilt.
Professor, yes.
She was.
And I think she's retired now, but she's very tough in debating situations. And this is just smear tactics from the SPLC and the left.
Oh, they hate black conservatives, especially black conservative women.
I'm not even sure Carol Swain is technically a black conservative on all issues. I'm just saying I don't know. Hmm. I do know that she is fair. I consider her fair-minded when it comes to discussing issues like
I don't
like
know either.
Race.
I don't even know if she would describe herself as a conservative. I'm just sort of presuming that from hearing her talk right there.
Sounds like she's a thoughtful, reasonable person.
Yes.
Yeah, but the SPLC is the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they just smear anybody with the label hate that, you know, Their threshold is very low.
And they make big money doing so.
Oh yeah, they have millions.
Last
of
year
money
they have $350 million in the bank. Last year they spent $60,000 in court fees in lawsuits, which is in the grand scheme of things that's probably a couple lawsuits, maybe.
Well,
but listen to this: they spent millions in salaries in comparison. So they're really not doing anything.
Well, they're a charity, and I thought. Charities, you're supposed to spend the money people give on the mission that you say you represent. Charities aren't supposed to sock money away in the Grand Cayman.
Which is $70 million dollars they had stuffed offshore.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's disqualifying to me to be a charity when you're basically not spending the money people give on the mission.
Right.
Now, you got to have a rainy day account. You got to have a little money in the bank. Here at AFA and AFR, we don't spend every dime that comes in every month.
Right.
You have a little reserves in case you have a hard, rough month or two or whatever, but you certainly don't sock millions away that people give to you to do something and invest it in, you know, foreign bank accounts or whatever there. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, our good friend although we give him a doctor here from
we today's can, issue,
honorary doctorate from Today's Issues.
He's smart enough.
Dan Celia, who precedes us here on this network, Dan's on with us from Philadelphia. Dan, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. It's Dr. Dan, by the way, to you guys.
Yes, well, exactly. Your honorary doctorate degree is on the way, Dan.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
It's in the mail.
It's not going to be on a napkin, is it? Is it
No, Walker's got a paper bag.
Okay, he's already, good.
It'll look like sheepskin, though. Yeah, you'll be able to frame it.
Okay.
Suitable for framing.
You know, like they have at the supermarket. Durable kind. The durable kind. Hey, Dan, what's little talked about in the news, I'd like to get you to comment on, the economy, the American economy is doing relatively well right now, isn't it?
It really is, yeah. The economy is doing very well. We're not going to see much about it in the news probably for the next 4 years anyway, but it is doing very well. The economy is doing well. Wages at 16-year highs. We haven't seen wages like this since 1999, so 17 years. 1999 finally reached, at least back to 1999, to start to see wages coming up, so that's very good. We're seeing this year also poverty rates going down. That just out, that poverty rates for 2017 down, so that's good news. So people are going back to work, and very, very good news, particularly as we see wages go up. So,
is that just the psychology of who is in leadership? For instance, President Obama, the welfare and food stamps and unemployment and all those things, those were, were bad signs for his administration. President Trump gets elected. It's hard for me to believe within 7 months or so that policies have been enacted to change all those things. Maybe this is just people think this president is very pro-business.
Yeah, that's basically what it is, Tim.
Okay.
I mean, everybody, I'll give you an example of that. Right after the election in November, so the NFIB is the National Federation of Independent Businesses, mm-hmm. and it's a very, very important gauge for us to look at, because it's all small businesses, thousands of small businesses, and they're the largest employer in the country. And it's a huge gauge of something, their confidence index is very important. And so after the election, their confidence index reached an all-time high of 116. It hadn't been over 100 in 10 years. So there was, and nothing happened other than Donald Trump won the election. So small businesses alone just said, took a deep breath and said, oh, I think we made it. I think we're going to make it. Because primarily because of regulatory burden for them, and obviously they were looking forward to tax relief as well, but the regulatory burden was killing them. And they knew that was going to get changed. And that is one of the things that already did get changed. President Trump did that early on by executive order and has eliminated thousands of regulations that were very burdensome to small businesses and large businesses as well. So the idea that it's coming is all that this economy has really needed. And well, not the idea that it's coming, I shouldn't say that, but the confidence that they have that it's coming. They really do believe this man. They really believe that he is going to do what he said, because it seems as though he is doing just that, mm-hmm. that he really cares about the American worker, the American corporation, the American people, and the American economy. And that's really what's driving things right now.
Dan, Steve Jordahl here. We had a discussion on air yesterday, and one of the reasons I think we wanted to talk to you today, it was announced yesterday that the U.S. debt surpassed $20 trillion, and we were trying to figure out how high is too high, and when will we keep saying we're passing this on to our grandkids, when is the economy going to collapse because our debt is too high?
Notice, Dan, that I ask a very positive question.
That's right.
Yeah, I noticed.
And Steve noticed. Brought us down.
And the worst part about it is, Tim, you can relate to half of this. I don't usually talk to people or get on the air with people that have a lot of hair.
Right.
And I don't get on the air with people that have great radio voices.
Like Steve.
So I don't even want to talk to Steve, to tell you the truth. Because if I say something to Steve, he's going to have to answer, and it's going to make me look even worse.
Well, so, you don't want to talk. You don't want to talk. Talk to Steve.
Exactly. Yeah.
Ed, you were having part of this discussion. Why don't you carry it then?
No, go ahead, Dan.
You know what, Steve? That's the sad part about it is, Steve. Other than what you guys were talking about yesterday, I talked about it as well yesterday, talking about $20 trillion milestone that we've hit in national debt, and it should certainly be getting a whole lot more coverage than it's getting. It is an issue that we are going to be faced with paying more interest to pay on our national debt, to service that debt, than is going to be what we pay for defense spending or all entitlements. It's going to be the number one expense of the government soon. Interest is going to be the number one expense. So if we get a bump up in interest rates to anywhere near 3.5%, we're going to be paying more money in interest to service that debt than we are anything else in the government. And that's a huge, huge issue. But here's the other thing. We've got to be careful, because one of the most important aspects that we're doing to fix that is we're getting a pro-growth environment, because our economy is not built to run on a GDP growth rate of 2.1%. We can't function like that. And that's one of the main reasons that we don't talk enough about is why we are in such trouble from a national debt standpoint. We have had 8 years of 1.1% GDP growth. So we need 2.8% to break even. So if we have a crummy economy and we are doing 2.1%, all we're doing is maintaining the crummy economy and making it a little bit worse. We need 2.6, 2.7 just to maintain, just to break even. So we need 3% growth. If we get 3% growth for an extended period of time, that is going to take care of a lot of issues as far as money coming into the coffers of the government. And if we can get that with a combination of an administration that believes in smaller government, less intrusive government, and we start to see the size of the government shrinking, which everybody on the right and the left are against seeing on Capitol Hill. But if we start seeing that, I think things are going to get better.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, we got about a minute left. You and Wesley Wildman, who's been on this program many times before, well, you and Wesley will be making an appearance in Jackson, Tennessee, coming up Tuesday, September the 26th, in the evening there at the Doubletree by Hilton in Jackson, Tennessee. I wanted all our listeners in and around Jackson, Tennessee to know about this free event that you're going to be speaking at. It's called Faith, Family, and Finance Town Hall Meeting. If you want more information about this, you do have to register to come. It's a free event, but we need to know you're coming. Go to afafoundation.net, 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 or if you want to call and register, again, the seating is free, but we need to know you're coming, because seating is limited. For Dan, Celia, and Wesley Wildman, my son, we'll be in Jackson, Tennessee on September the 26th. The number to register is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 345. So check that out. Call us here at American Family Radio and sign up for that. Dan, thanks so much, my friend.
Thank you, guys. Sure appreciate it.
See you later, doctor.
Yeah.
All right. Yep.
Parker, would you get that doctor, honorary doctor?
I'll get it sent out. Yeah. Overnight.
Okay. Make sure you do that. Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Folks, appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. Hope you'll stay with us throughout the day. Take care, and we will see you back tomorrow.